Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, where Mark Shahid and Karan Shakir examine sound approaches to making marriage work, the blessing that it was intended to be. Being a learning lab, we learn together, sharing lessons that, inshallah, lead to a beautiful, memorable wedding day and a fulfilling marriage life full of faith, trust, affection, peace, and joy. I am Karan Shakir, and it is my pleasure to serve as today's co-producer and co-host and engineer. While we are making our introductions and opening announcements, we ask you to do us a favor and share the joy of this program by letting your family and friends know that you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. To do that, all you have to do is send a text or make a post. Invite them to join you at 714-816-4673. And now, dear listeners, without further ado, it is my pleasure to present my co-host, Mark Shahid. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Karan Shakir, and to the IWDM radio listening audience and family. As always, I like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Shadu ilaha ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu wa shahadu anna Muhammadin abduluhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. Be witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the Prophet, and Mark Shahid, the host, facilitator, producer, with Karan Shakir. And it is our honor and pleasure that each and every Thursday night to present on IWDM Radio the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, which has been in effect for over 7 years now, starting with the sister station, AM 360 Radio, all the way back in the year of 2015, actual date, October 13, 2015, and it's been continued here on IWDM Radio. Karan and I would like to welcome all of you, in particular those who have tuned in for the first time here to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We want you to know that this is, in fact, your learning lab. We ask that you bring an open mind and an open heart. We ask you to bring your tools, just simply a pencil or an ink pen and a notepad, because we believe that some noteworthy things will be said tonight, as in all of the productions of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And this will remind you that it may be a question or a comment that you might like to make in regards to the information that will be disseminated tonight. We also want you to know that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, like the Sister Learning Lab, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, has a foundation. And it's three sources that we primarily use in this learning lab. The first source is Al-Quran, the Quran being the final revelation of Almighty God, Allah, for all of humanity. That's number one. Number two is the life demonstration of the Quran by our beloved Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's number two. the demonstration, the life demonstration of the Quran. And number three, the tafsir. Tafsir being the clear explanation by a scholarly leader and teacher, Imam Waris-ud-Din Muhammad, in regards to the Quran and also the life example and traditions of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the three sources that comprise the foundation for this learning lab. And we also want you to know that last week we began a new topic, and it's in question form. In question form. And the question was asked, what is marriage? What is marriage? The second question to that, when do we first get the idea that we are really married? When do we first get the idea that when we are married? That's the second question. And we had a very engaging audience last week. Some of you are probably back tonight for part two on this mini-series of what is marriage? And when did we first get the idea that we are really married? It's a to say the least. And I want to just say our beloved sister, Quran Shakir, was not with us, and we did make dua for her and her family. We are honored to have her back this week. She usually does an excellent job in terms of overview. However, she was not able to review last week. And I'm just going to just give some few highlights of some of the things that I know that I brought to the Learning Lab, and Allah inspired me with this topic because just over the years, I've heard many, including Muslims and those are not Muslims, actually have a misnomer, a misconception, a misperception, if you will, in terms of what is marriage. And oftentimes saying, I'm going to get married, or even those who perform the ceremony say that I married six or seven couples this year. Really? You know, and we have so many misconceptions and perception what is marriage. So one of the things that, as a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad, he gave to us in class, Tafsir Quran, Bil Quran. What was Imam Muhammad saying? The clear explanation by the Quran is the best. And Imam W.D. Muhammad once said to us that in definition is direction. In definition is direction. And I've also added also correction, because when we have misnomers, misconceptions, and misperceptions about things, and we know that marriage, the sacred institution of marriage, is very, very important to get a knowledge of, an understanding of what it really is. So how do Imam W.D. Muhammad teach us in terms of how it is that we define things? Well, last week, one of the highlights was that we always start with the Quran. So always remember that. You know, so if you're taking notes and you want to define something such as marriage, you want to go to the Quran and first see what Allah says about it. I'm asking you to bring an open mind and open heart, and if you can, just dismiss what you think you know about marriage. So therefore, you won't have noise in your head when you hear some of these things that we started out with last week, and we will continue to expound upon Quran and myself this week in what is marriage. So we want to go first to the Quran, and I'm realizing that there are a lot of non-Muslims that have been invited that are listening in by way of the internet or have called into the studio. And let me say this before we get into the highlights of last week and continue on this path of identifying what is marriage. If you're listening by way of the internet, and Quran has already said it, but we want to reiterate that. If you want to be a part of this communication, this conversation, and want to ask a question or maybe make a comment, or you may just want to let Quran and I know that what we're saying tonight is resonating with you, you do have to call into the studio. The studio number is 714-816-4673. This is a good time, you understand, to contact family and friends, associates, neighbors, community members, and let them know that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is in session. They still have time to get here because this is valuable, valuable information that will actually help us all, whether you're Muslim or non-Muslim. So we start with the Quran, and we go to Surah Al-Furqan, which is known as the criteria. And this really helps us because when we're looking at the sacred institution of marriage, we want to know the criteria, and we want to know why it is so very important. So Allah says in Surah 25, which is Al-Furqan, in Ayah 54, He says, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. I won't be using a lot of Arabic, Quranic Arabic. It is really because you have to give an expression of this. And so to speak it in the language of the people where they can really understand it, they can ingest it, digest it, is the best way. I like to keep things, keep it simply simple. That word kiss, keep it simply simple. God says, He says that He has created the human being from water. And then He established the relationship of lineage and marriage, and that He, Allah, has power or influence over all things. Now let's look at this. Allah is telling us something even in terms of how He has created the human being. And using the Tafsir Imam W.D. Muhammad, that water is one of the four major elements that we have. And water is emblematic or symbolic of something within the human being. And depending on the context in which it's used, it can represent spirituality. It can represent morality. It can represent emotionality. And it can represent sensitivity. And then, he says, then He established the relationship of what first? Lineage, which is family or family life. So family life is a sacred institution. And then marriage, and marriage life is a sacred institution that actually is a means in terms of actually continuously reproducing family life. And then Allah says He has power and influence over it, meaning that He has established this. This is what makes both family life and marriage life sacred. And also in establishing it, He made it an institution. And when we think about institutions, you know, Quran, we think about institutions, and many of us have been, educational institutions. It is designed to give to culture and refinement. Actually, an institution is also designed to bring about a purification. And all of this is actually in the Quran in terms of what marriage actually helps us in terms of those who are recognizing. There's another thing that has to be said that Imam Muhammad has taught us as students. When you are studying the Quran, it's very, very important for us to make connections with certain ayats in the Quran to other ayats in the Quran that's pertaining to the subject in which we are actually going to be discussing tonight and perhaps next week, and along with Islam is the best, know how long this subject will be in existence here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So with that being said, Avon says he has power over all things, or he has influenced all things. So it becomes natural or in the fitra. Fitra just means the original nature that Allah has created the human being in. There's a natural inclination to what family life and also for marriage life. Now, you might ask or say, well, if Allah established this institution, does he make the provisions to establish the institution in the human being? Now, for that, we go to, and we said last week, the Surah Harum, which is the 30th chapter and the 21st verse. And let me say this to those that have heard the word ayah, ayats, plural, ayat, single, that Imam Muhammad said they are verses, but they're more than just verses. They're instructing signs, or it's a message that Allah is giving to us. And actually, this verse, the 21st verse of Surah, or chapter 30th, it starts out with letting us know that this is an instructing sign. God says, among his signs is this. So among his instructing signs is this, or messages is this. Now he's letting us know what it is that he has provided as provisions for us and what it is that he has established. So I want you to keep a free and open mind so you can see the connection here. God says, among his signs is this, that I have made for you from among yourselves mates of like nature, that you may be able to dwell together in tranquility. And I, being Allah, I will put the love, I will put the mercy between your hearts. Verily, in that are signs for those who reflect. Now notice, the last part of the ayat is, verily in that are signs. We're talking about signs here again, instructing signs, a message for those who reflect. So Allah is saying to us that we have to reflect upon this. Allah don't want us just to read over and just to be quoters, like parrots, just be quoters of what he says. He says, verily, and that are signs for those who reflect. So let's reflect on what it is that God has said. He's saying that he has done this from among the ones, you understand, that he has made and created. There is a mate for you of like nature. Now, let's stop there in terms of like nature. We had a very interesting conversation, I believe, last week on one of our sister stations, New Day for Al-Islam radio, and it was talked about Allah gave a permit for those like you in terms of what it is to have transpired in your past, that the virgin for the virgin, the fornicator for the fornicator, adulterer for the adulterer, and all of this here. And very good information and conversation actually came from that, because you're talking about commonality, and Allah is always just and fair in what it is that he gives to us as in an instructing sign for us. That's one aspect of it. And some of you may be saying, well, Brother Shaheed, what if, in fact, that you did these things and you was not consciously aware, and when you met with a word, just like Adam from your Lord, you repented. You no longer do those things, okay? But the commonality, and word that in reality is a play on the word reality. Reality, what you have in common. That's important. That's one aspect of it. But that's not all of it. The commonality is the reality of what you have in common with that potential mate. And because Allah created us first, as souls, and we get that in Surah An-Nisa, Kalakakum Menefsin Wahida, that Allah created us from one single soul, or as Imam Muhammad has said, to one single essence. I'm still on the topic in terms of marriage, but to see our first creation is that of souls. And then in understanding that in An-Nisa, the first ayat, it will help us to understand that all the isms that divide us, and actually in terms of saying one is superior and one is inferior, that eradicates all the isms. It eradicates eliteism, classism, sexism, genderism, and yes, racism too, because Allah has already given us a definition as to who we are. And that is soul, from one single soul. So in the reality of the abstract, there is no difference in regards to the very different nations and tribes, or in terms of gender. You see, we are one in that regard. So when you're looking for that, as you connect that, we're looking at soul. So you should be looking for your soul mate. That is the beginning for the human being. It's her soul. That is the spirituality. From every soul emanates a spirit, as Imam Muhammad has taught us. We have individual souls, but there is a collective soul that Allah has created. And it becomes the socialization and acculturation in which we came up that ultimately will give us the type of spirit that we bring. And even though we all may take the Shahadatain in terms of bearing witness, it's very important for us to know and realize that we are bringing our socialized and acculturated self to this deen. So when we are looking for a mate, we want to look for the commonality, because we want the compatibility. Compatibility is simply the ability to be able not only to live together, but also be able to work together. So we have soulmate, and then we are looking for a workmate, because the sacred institution of marriage is designed for it to be productive, but it's also designed to produce a better you. I'm going to stop there. I can't say more, and I will say more, but I want to give my partner, Quran Shakir, opportunity to give lend some commentary on whatever has been said thus far as we look at the Quran and referencing the Quran and making connections with the verses, the instructing signs. Now remember, these are instructing signs. This is the instruction for the construction of the type of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have, even in the sacred institution of marriage. And he's providing the framework for that. I want to give it over to you, Quran. And welcome back. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, how do you know? Wa alaikum assalam. It's good to be here. And I love what I'm hearing, the conversation covered on last week. And most definitely, Imam Muhammad has taught us to use the Quran to define our lives and how we live our lives. And so when we're looking to understand what is my purpose and what is it that I must do, then we look to what Allah has already given us as the source for what we do. So in addition to what you've already shared in beginning with Surah 25, Ayat 54, here Allah tells us that he created us from water. And as you said, that water is spiritual life as well. So that spiritual life is from whence we come. That's why we are souls. That's why we have this interest in being connected to one another, and we can feel one another even when we don't touch physically. And that's a part of that, being created from water. And then he said that from him he caused two kinds of kindred. So we have two connections here, and those two kindreds is by blood, that's the lineage. I'm sorry, that's the blood, that's the marriage. And then by marriage is the other connection. So you have your lineage and the marriage. So by blood is your lineage and by marriage. Those are the two kindreds that Allah gives us. And then he declares his power. Allah is all-powerful. Allah is mighty. When we look at that, we know then we have the responsibility to honor that. So, you know, we often talk about the fact that you can't pick your relatives. And so since we do get to pick our mate, in this definition of marriage means that we have to be intentional about picking those mates. So Allah has given us this connection spiritually. He made us from water. He made us spiritual beings. So we are looking for these beings with whom we connect spiritually, with whom we can serve our Creator through that experience and that relationship. And then I love Surah 30, Ayat 21, and Allah says he's given us some ayats. He's given us some signs. Because we always say, I need a sign in order to do something. I need a sign. So Allah says he's given us a sign. And that sign is that he has created for you. He created for you your spouses. And if our spouses are these spiritual beings that we're talking about, he said those spouses are right there in your midst. They're from among you. So when we're looking at defining marriage, then we're looking then for a relationship with someone with whom we connect, and they're right there with us. And that right there with us means they're right there with us in thinking. They're right there with us in our practices. They're right there with us. They're amongst us. And he said, and in that you can find your comfort. And so I'm just loving this. And he placed between you and the love and the mercy. And sometimes we go looking for the love to say this is how we establish relationships and this is how we find our relationships. But that's not what Allah said to us. He said that he established this marriage, this lineage for you, creating you from water, meaning seek out the one who's more spiritual, who's connected to you spiritually before you look for someone that you can find this love in and this mercy in. It's before you get to that. Allah placed that in you. He will place that in you as a part of that connection that you're doing. So our duty then has to be in defining marriage for our own selves. I always tell people, before you go out searching for your mate, search for you. Understand you and understand who you are and who is it that will connect best with you to fulfill the experiences that you have had, to fulfill the spiritual journey that you are on, and you all do it for one another. So that's the search that you will be looking for. And so just to comment, that's my comment on what you said.
Alhamdulillah.
Tonight as we get into defining marriage and looking at how do you realize you're in marriage? How do you realize that, oh, I'm really married? It's not words you say. There's an experience you have. So I'm going to pause there.
Okay, alhamdulillah. I want to say takbir, Allahu Akbar. And that means that God is greater, bigger, and more important. And I want to say alhamdulillah, for those who don't know, that means that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. Excellent, excellent commentary, Quran. And, you know, it's just so much that in these ayats, and I'm just going to pick it up where you left off, because when Allah says that he will place the love and the mercy, okay? So we have misconceptions, we have misnomers and misperception as to what love is. We have to come out of the Western society's mindset, if you will, when it comes to what love is, and also mercy. Why mercy? Mercy is a prerequisite to be able to forgive your mate, because we're not perfect. When we say subhanallah, subhanallah means that Allah is perfect. He's above mistakes. He's above errors. He's above shortcomings. Human beings can and will make mistakes, errors, and perhaps will sin. And most certainly, we may have shortcomings or coming up short. So to have mercy or compassion is a prerequisite in the sacred institution of marriage. Now, notice Allah said He would place it in, He would place it between your hearts for each other. And so we're not talking about the biological heart. We know it and understand the function of the heart. Now, once again, Master Key by Imam W. Dean Muhammad. He says that everything in creation, the heart is a part of creation. Now, has its counterpart in the human being. What is counterpart? A likeness in the human being in terms of what it represents or is symbolic or emblematic of. The heart or the core of the person is, in fact, their intention. This is why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, have said that all matters, all actions are judged by your niyyah. What does that mean? By your intention, your pure intentions, by your motivation, by your desire. All this is the heart of the person. So if you really want to really get to know somebody, get to know what type of heart it is that they have. So Allah said He would put that in their heart, the pure intention to really want to love your mate. You want to love your mate as Allah would want, intends for you to love your mate. You want to have the mercy that Allah wants you to have to your mate when there are problems, when there are issues. And there will be problems and issues. And when mistakes and errors are made by one or both of you in the relationship. So this is Allah's doing. But this is, and it should be, that all relationships are predicated. And it begins with the first relationship. And all relationships that you build has to have a foundation. So it is very important to know that the relationship of husband and wife, if it's going to be solid, it's going to have a foundation. So what is that foundation? It is the foundation in terms of your individual relationship with your Lord and Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very important. You know, Quran, we have family relationships. When you're born, you have a mother, a mama or daddy, as they say. I always like to make a distinction between daddy and father. If a male is not impotent, he can be a daddy, but a father is a role and responsibility. That's for sure. And you may have siblings in the family life. You may have grandparents in the family life. You may have nieces and nephews and aunts and uncles in the family life. So what is the relationship that we should have with our Lord and Creator, and how is that supposed to look? It's supposed to look as servant to master. Allah is the master. We're the servant. So our relationship is predicated on how well we are as a servant. And Allah has created us to serve Him. He tells us that in Surah 51, 56. Many of you have read that, but if you don't, read it again. He tells us why He created us, to worship Him, to serve Him. And Imam Muhammad goes even a little bit further in terms of saying that we are to work for Him. And whatever He has established for us and whatever He has made for us, we're still connecting. Whatever He has established for us as a sacred institution and whatever He has made for us in that regard, then we should have an appreciation for that. And we should say, Alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah. I want that. Because only in terms of accepting and not rejecting this sacred institution will we be serving Allah's will and plan. The sacred institution of marriage is part of God's will and plan. If you're taking notes, you might want to take that one down. This is very, very important because we as Muslims or right-minded people that are listening, you want to be in accord with God's will and plan. You don't want to just use your free will to do things the way you want to do it. You want to just shack up. Shacking is lacking. I say it again. Shacking is lacking. You'll see that. Maybe later on this year we plan on doing something with that. But you want to do what God's will is for you and what he plans for you. You don't want to lose out on that because there's a certain potential in the human being. To realize their full potential, the sacred institution of marriage is a part of you realizing and fulfilling your full potential in serving Allah's will and plan. And as Quran so eloquently articulated, there is a purpose. There's a purpose in this. So in terms of making that selection with the right mate, it should be your soul mate because that's what we was created first as souls. And then as she so excellently articulated, the spirituality as Allah has breathed into us his spirit or his influence. Once again, that's the influence of Allah. And what influences us most is God's word, his word. In his word is his will. And when we read the Quran, we're reading God's will for the human being. Only Allah is speaking, and he's speaking directly to us. And Imam Muhammad also said to us that in the Quran, in Al-Fatiha, when we say, Iyaka, na abudu wa iyaka nasta'in. That is only you. Only you. Iyaka is only you, exclusively Allah, that we worship and we serve. And he also said that we work for. And it is only you that we seek aid and assistance. And we also can see in Al-Fatiha, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim. This is Ayat 5, or instructing sign. See, once we learn the Al-Fatiha, and we really learn the Al-Fatiha, it gives us the guidance for everything. We ask for the guidance on the Siratal Mustaqim, on the straight path. But we're asking for guidance in every aspect of our life, including the sacred institution of marriage. And we're only going to get that from the Quran because Allah is the owner of all that he creates, and he's the owner of all that he establishes. He's the owner of that, and he has entrusted us with that. Now, we have the free will. He's given us that, so we can choose to accept God's instructing signs of message, or we can choose to reject God's message. That is a choice that we make. But if we choose to accept, then we're going to be the beneficiary because Allah is our right mind. He's the most merciful benefactor, and we are the beneficiaries of that. So this is very, very important. And all what Quran and I are doing in terms of just laying, continues to lay this foundation, you say, oh, this is about what marriage is? Yeah. It is. And then you want to look for that mate that, as Quran said, that's thinking just like you. They have, you understand, want to surrender and submit their life to serving Allah. And then you're looking for a mate that have submitted, admitted, and then submitted. You see, when you take the, let me say this real quick, and you might want to put this down. When you stand up, you come to the conclusion, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah. When you come to that conclusion, you have to stand up before witnesses and before Allah, and you make that declaration of liberation for yourself. Now the next task is to make it not only just a verbalization, but a demonstration in your life. See, this is very, very important when we connect this. So whatever it is that you have said, now you have to express that in your life. And last week we talked about, after the Quran, we went to the Prophet Muhammad, who is the excellent model for us. And so when we talk about this sacred institution, we go and we see what the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and the peace be upon him, what did he say about this sacred institution? And what he said was very profound. He said, this is one half of your religion. This is one half of your deen. So if you out there, you straddle the fence, I don't know if I want to get married or not. Or maybe you thought you got married and you one and done. Now I say you thought you got married. See, this is what the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is all about. Because we have a misnomer that because we took our vows, because we received a ring, because we had a beautiful reception, a very expensive reception, and all of that, that we were married. So we're going to look into this tonight, inshallah, God willing. We're going to look into this. But that don't make you married. Sorry to disappoint you. The nikah is a marriage ceremony, wedding ceremony. It does not make you married. No more than if I said to you, I'm going to a janazah tomorrow. Those that are Muslims, we know that somebody has transitioned in life. It's a ritual, it's a ceremony in terms of making prayer for the deceased, making prayer for those who are survivors and left. But it always starts with Fatiha. Then after that, it is the Prophet's prayer. Now I won't go into all that tonight, but all that has great significance. But if I told you that in May, and this May, inshallah, one of my granddaughters will be graduating in Chicago, and me and the family will be in Chicago for that. And you might ask me, well, where did she graduate from? Was it grade school? Was it high school? Was it college? You see? And so there'll be a graduation ceremony. Somebody retired, and they have a retirement ceremony for that person. You say, well, where did they work? How long did they work? The ceremony indicates that something has already taken place. We are to see that the same way when it comes to the sacred institution of marriage, that something should already have taken place. You can't put the cart before the horse. The cart can't pull the horse. We have to put things in perspective. So when is it, you understand, what is marriage? And when is it that we first would actually know? We want to look at tonight, you know, Quran, we want to look at tonight, you know, what I call synonyms. And I think this may help to keep it simply simple. You know, synonyms. You know, words. Words make people. And words make people in terms of what they do. And in definition, it's direction. Now, if we're misdirected, that means, according to what Imam Muhammad has said, we have misdefined marriage. We're still operating from Western society what marriage is. We're still operating in terms of what engagement is. When it is that Allah bless you to become interested in a potential mate, and they become interested in you, have a mutual interest or a mutual attraction. No such thing as love at first sight. You can have a mutual interest, and you can have a mutual attraction, but you can't have love at first sight. That's a natural development over time, and marriage is a womb for love. That's why Allah said he will do that in terms of that. But having that mutual interest, now you begin to engage that potential mate that you're looking at in conversation, in communication. This is called intellectual intercourse. Intellectual intercourse. You're engaged at that point. This is different from Western society. You know, you say a few things and they say a few things and everything, and all of a sudden, here's a ring, an engagement ring. Will you marry me? Based on what? Based on what? Is there a connectiveness? Let's look at the aspects of the human being. Is there a connectedness in terms of being a moral being? You can't assume anything. So you don't go in assuming anything. You don't want to go into even courtship in terms of looking at that potential mate as a suspect. You want to give them respect, and you want to be respected. So you want to look in terms of moral being. Is there commonality in the morality of both of you? Is there commonality? Do you have anything common in common there? And when you look at in terms of the emotional being, is there a commonality? There has to be a fit here. You want this. If you are emotionally mature person, then you should want an emotionally mature person. I can't go into the night, take too much time to talk about emotional intelligence and emotional maturation. And then you want to ask yourself, is this a rational being, right? A rational intellectual being? If you are, you should be looking for that too in your mate. You're looking for the unison. You're looking for the relativeness. You're looking for the connectiveness. So when we talk about in terms of actually being married, we have that. We have that connection. Oh, this is good. You know, because in intellectual intercourse, there should be some endorphins that are actually released in terms of, oh, this is a good feeling. I can't wait to talk to this potential mate again. This is intercourse. This is from a Islamic perspective. And then as Quran so eloquently articulated, in terms of spiritual being, what do you have in common? The spirituality, the reality of the spirit that you have, and in terms of how you look at this way of life, there should be a commonality. If there's going to be compatibility, there has to be commonality in these components. And when Allah bless you and your mate to be able to see that there is a relatedness, a connection, a unison, you're married in those vital aspects of your life, because that is who you have to live with. You don't just live with the physical aspect, the flesh body. I know some of us put that at the forefront. They're looking for this, they're looking for that. And if you make and do all the iskahara prayer, you're asking for and summoning Allah's help and acknowledging that he's the best knower, but then we get in our own way because we're still searching a pipe dream. Oh, I said enough. I better stop there. I want to remind the radio listening audience that you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you listen to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir and Mark Shaheed. And tonight's topic is, what is marriage? And when do you first have the idea that you are married? And Karan, I want you to look. We ask you to press 1 if you have a question or comment. Anything Karan Shakir has said or I've said tonight, you understand, that may have raised your eyebrow. And you probably might have been married several times or what. And you know what? I didn't even have a clue. I thought that when that ring was put on my finger, that I was married. No. If when you come for the nikah, the marriage, wedding ceremony, just like any ceremony, it should be an indication. It should be a realization. It should be a manifestation that you two have something very relative and connective in unison in these vital components that comprise the human being as Allah has created us. So at this point, Karan Shakir, I know you want to make some comments, and we want to invite our regular listening audience to get involved. And if what we're saying tonight, is this resonating with you? We'd like to hear from you. You can do that by pressing 1. Those who are listening by way of the Internet, you can actually call in to the studio, 714-816-4673.
Karan? Absolutely. And we do have one person with their hand up. I'll wait to make my comment because I want to honor our guest. And so we're going to go to 672-449. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Samir.
Assalamu alaikum.
I didn't have a clue. It's like what you said, Mark. It's like you don't even have a clue that you listen to Mark. And you could have been married more than once, and you kept missing the mark. And you began to question yourself, what am I doing wrong? But in the traditional world, because it paints a different kind of picture than the Islamic picture, we look to that as our source. And because it's not God's source, it's not going to work. You may find people that have longevity in their marriage, but there's still something missing. Because if we're not living the natural life that Allah created us to be, we sometimes just compromise or we settle. But what you have given us last week, this week, if we incorporate what you've given us in our lives, we should have longevity. And the part about the death do us part, I mean, it's like we can live that. We can live that because if we obeying what Allah say do, it's an everlasting engagement, an everlasting engagement. You said so much tonight, Mark, that it gives a whole another definition of marriage. And what you're saying about looking for the essence of a person, is a soulmate. We look so much on the surface that we can't see the in-depthness of a person and their being and their character. That's where the value is. So I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate what you're giving to us on this conversation in marriage, because it definitely makes a difference. And if you don't know, you don't know. And when you do know, it makes a big difference. Thank you, Bernard. And Sister Shakir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amira. Muhammad, for calling in. We really appreciate your contribution because we like to, Karan and I always want to hear from our radio listening audience if what's being said is resonating. And so we want you to talk to us tonight. Talk to us. Don't be sitting back. I know you're out there. I can't see you. You know, I don't see well these days. But I know you're out there. And I know you're hearing some things you never heard before. Oh, I know. And I know it might be striking some of you totally different, you know, and sometimes we think this and we think that, but we're thinking with a Western mind. We have to come with an Islamic mind. And when we do that, oh, we benefit so much more from that. Karan?
Yes, indeed. And so as you were talking, a few things came to my mind. And since we're looking at what is marriage, and we're saying we're going to use the Quran to define marriage. So one, when you were talking, and this is for somebody like me who cut to the chase and get right to the definition. So here, marriage number one is the sunnah of the prophet, peace be upon him. This is what marriage is. So this is the way of our prophet. If we understand that that's the way of our prophet, then we have to study what is his way. And just like you said, here's a paradigm shift. And when we have this paradigm shift, then we're moving away from what the world has taught us. And the world has taught us there is this hidden curriculum in the world where they teach us through music. They teach us through the films we see. They teach us through commercials and things like that that we see. They'll teach us what marriage is. So we'll read literature and we think that it is so romantic. And we'll think that it is so full of this, that this idea of heaven in your relationship is that never do you have toil, never do you struggle. However, if we're using the Quran to define what we do, Allah tells us that verily with every difficulty there is relief. So we anticipate that Allah is going to give us some struggle, and we know that just by the way a baby comes into the world, through that struggle. And it is a beautiful thing. Do we ever say, oh, this is so sinful and so abusive and so ridiculous that we have to give birth this way? No. Allah has given us this beautiful way of giving birth. So now he has given us marriage as a way to give birth also. We give birth to our excellence. We give birth to our new selves through marriage. And, you know, I often laugh and joke about that. It's one of the reasons it is half the deen, half the opportunity to serve Allah because of the struggles that we have in the marriage. So that's a paradigm shift, not to see it as a burden or as a mishap or something bad, but it is a beautiful thing. And so marriage is a beautiful struggle for us to get to our best selves. And when we look at how Allah gives us this word for marriage in the Quran, he gives us several words. One of those words is zawj. So when he talks about the zawj, zawj means a pair. So it's two people connected to one another. And so Allah gives us a pair or our mate. And so when he's using this in the Quran, he's using it as he's talking about the connectedness of these two. And he'll often talk about what a zawj does for the other or how a zawj sees the other. So that's what we'll see in that. And so that is this definition again to marriage. And so a part of us understanding, why do we have marriage? If we're looking at what Allah has given us, then the general purpose or reason for marriage is that the male and the female come together. And they come together because they are the bedrock of community life.
Yes.
And that bedrock of community life includes the male and the female coming together to bring company to one another, to bring affection to one another, and to procreate. They are in that stage of their lives. And Allah said his promise is that he gives you sakina, the peace and the tranquility. That is his command. That is his promise of what he gives us. So in our definition, and we welcome you, dear listening audience, we want to hear, what does it mean to you when we look at this paradigm shift now? We're shifting. Think about what you've learned from the Quran and from the life of the prophet, since we said that it is the way of the prophet to marry. And what have you learned? Because now marriage has a new meaning for us. And we've talked about the fact that it is a social responsibility for
us
to marry. And so that is one of the reasons that we don't say, I'm never getting married. I'm one and done, two and through. We don't do that. We're always on the quest to find our mate and that quote-unquote soulmate because we're trying to fulfill the social responsibility of our community, and we're always trying to honor Allah. So marriage is, if we're doing our definitions, marriage is an opportunity to honor Allah, to serve our Creator, and bring dignity to what He has established in the world. And our brother Rumi said, the one you're seeking is seeking you. For those who are struggling, like, I can't find anybody, don't give up. The one you're seeking is seeking you. But begin with that definition of yourself. Who are you? Who are you? And I don't mean just your name or what your profession is. You know, go deep. Who are you? And when you go deep and define who you are and you're honest with yourself, because I heard Brother Mark when he said you should be seeking somebody who's on this spiritual plane. Well, if you're not on a spiritual plane, you may not be ready for someone who's on a spiritual plane like that. But you may be on a quest to be a better servant of Allah. Find somebody who's on a quest to be a better servant of Allah and who may be arranged in a rank. They can support you in that process of becoming a better servant of Allah. You all can serve each, you can help each other to become better, because that's what marriage is. That's that social responsibility that we have to one another. We're here to help one another to be better and better and better at serving our Creator. And I'll pause there because I do want to get into the definition of nikah for us, that word marriage. But
yes.
I do want to hear from our audience, too. I don't want to talk so much that the audience doesn't get an opportunity.
Yes.
So if you have questions,
that's,
if you have
very
comments.
Well said, Karan. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. So I say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah. Yeah, we want to hear from the EU radio listening audience. Please press 1. Want to do this maybe say a little earlier, because I know Karan and myself, I believe that we've given out some very, very valuable information. This may be the first time you ever heard this, but inshallah, God willing, it won't be the last time. This is what the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is all about. This is why Karan and I, we say bring it to the lab, you know, and we ask that you bring an open mind, open heart, you know, and it's a good sister and friend, Mary Muhammad, always say, when you don't know that you don't know that you don't know. But if you knew what difference, big difference that it would make in your life, this is whereas that we always are learning. We're growing as we are knowing. And so know now is that acronym KNOW, know now or wonder, you know, and you don't want to wonder. You know, the sacred institution of marriage. I want to say, Karan, you made so many.
Lined up, Mark.
Oh, we got them lined up. Okay. So just one last thing before you go to the callers. One of the other things in terms of marriage I wanted to add is that your spouse becomes a garment for you, and you become a garment for them.
Mm-hmm.
Also in that is the protection that you have with your spouse. And it's a lot to be said about that, but I think many of you know that in terms of that. So this is another great benefit. You don't want to be unprotected. You want to be protected. So this is another benefit of the Sacred Institution of Marriage. So, Karan, let's go. Let's see what they have on their mind tonight.
All right. We are welcoming 646-869. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I said,
who are you?
I'm Yakub.
I know who you are. I recognize that famous voice, the Shaky Ma'am Yakub, but where are you from? And you have a question or comment?
I'm from New York City on planet Earth.
Okay. Okay, Imam Yakub, what do you have to say, or you have any comments, or you have questions in terms of this approach, in terms of what is marriage?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, my brother.
In Islam, do we have long engagements?
Are you asking the question, or are you just making a question as a statement?
Yes, I'm asking a question.
Well,
we don't,
everything, as you know, Imam Yaqub, I know you're very learned in this religion, and it's the middle course that the Prophet Muhammad always have given to us, and we don't do things in extreme. So if the question was asked, do you have long engagement or do you have short engagement, there's a middle course that it is that should be taken. It wouldn't take forever in a day to know whether or not there is a relativeness, a connectiveness, or a union that has been formed between those two people. And, of course, you know, it can't be just, as that song is, just one look, that's all it took, either. It can't be those type of persons that say love at first sight. They can be interest at first sight. They can be attractiveness at first sight. But you have to get to make the invisible visible. So therefore, the courtship phase is very important, and especially with the social dynamic that we experience in the day, unlike in the day of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they all live in close proximity, they all live very, very close to each other, that many of them grew up, you know, knowing each other. And some of us, you know, if you're in the 60s, the 70s, or 80s, some of us have actually experienced that. But the social dynamic today in the 21st century is totally different. So I hopefully I answered that question for you.
You answered it very nice. You answered it. I like that. Because from that there, right, I like to see the bond is the marriage and the family. And the bond is family to come together and share in the one's interest of providing for their life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
In doing this as a human being with another human being, it should be a clear line of understanding between the two parties that come together to get married. Because out of the marriage come children.
Mm-hmm.
And you want the children to imitate the good things of your life and their life coming together for one thing. And I pray and I hope that those who are getting married and those who are married start this institution to love God first and from their home, from life as a family. Start at home and then go out spread. But it's very important that they put Allah first in their life.
Inshallah. Yes. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Imam Yaqub, you know, for calling in and sharing that with us. We really appreciate you calling in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I want to ask you to keep on listening. Inshallah, you'll come back. Press, assalamu alaikum, press 1 so you can go out and keep the studio clear here. And I want to just say, Quran, you know, something that Imam Yaqub said, very, very important. You know, we hear our Christian brothers and sisters actually say that God is first. They put God first in their life. But I think that we have to realistically understand when we say that, you know, we put God's word and his will and his way first and foremost. Not our word or somebody else's word, and not our own will, and not doing it our way. And this is the problem, whereas that we can get in the way of what God's will and plan is for us. So when we do that, to just simplify that, is that we're taking our guidance from the one that created us. It was one of the prophets that, in the Quran, that say that the one who has created me will guide me. So, you know, just to give a little bit more clarification to what Imam Yaqub actually is saying, you put God first. you see. Mm-hmm. So we can't see Allah, but we can see Allah through his revelation. We can see Allah through creation. So that's very, very important. So thank you, Imam Yaqub, for calling in and sharing that commentary. All right, Karan, who we have next?
Yes. Next we have 678-768. Welcome to
the American
Lab.
That's from Atlanta.
Oh,
from,
thank you for having me. Can you hear me?
Yes, a little louder, please. Yes.
Okay. I think so I just wanted to thank you all for all of the knowledge that you've been sharing tonight, and I think it's such a refreshing perspective and such a good thing to hear, because I feel like, I don't know if it's my circle or my generation or something like that, but the messaging that we get through society, especially as like Black women, is you don't need a man. You need to stay single. Several people in my life have told me that, and I understand focusing on yourself, developing yourself, and, you know, accomplishing your goals, but I think that that's not going to be good for our communities in the long run. And I personally really want to get married, and I know a lot of other, like, young Muslimas that want to get married, but at the same time, we get the signaling, like, oh, you can only have your career, or you can only, you know, study all this and that. And then when you say that you want to get married, or, you know, that you're interested in people, people look at you like you're desperate or, like, foolish, and it's like, it's really like the family values are being like degraded, I feel like. So I don't know. I wanted to ask you guys two things. So one of my friends who's in kind of like the same trajectory as me, I think she's actually in medical school now. She said something so sad. Like, she has everything going on for her educationally, but she was like, and she's a great Muslima from like what I've observed. She always makes her prayers and stuff like that. It seems like she has very strong faith. But she just said, what if my soulmate is no longer alive? Like, that's the point of, like, no hope, some people. And she's only, like, 23. So that's kind of, like, a sad perspective to have. So Islamically, do you think that that's something that we should believe, since I know you guys discussed soulmates earlier, like, what if your soulmate is no longer on this planet? What if you guys are meant to be together in the afterlife? And also, I think that's pretty much it for now.
No, let me ask you a question before you leave, if you don't mind. How old are you?
I'm 23.
Okay, alhamdulillah. But those are excellent questions. So, Karan, let you go first. You heard those questions. And you know, I'm glad that our beloved sister called in and listened in, as a matter of fact, because these are the type of questions that we like for you to bring to the lab. And, of course, what it is that you're hearing and all of this here, we know that that conversation goes on, Karan. What do you think? How would you respond to her? You know, and even is saying that I don't know if my soulmate is still existing, or maybe those, like she say, are speaking negative about marriage, or not it being prioritization and all of these things.
Yeah, I mean,
please,
they're like,
comment.
Oh, that's, a lot of people have been like, that's so foolish of you, like, don't get distracted. And it's like, I'm a full human being. There are other aspects to my life aside from studying and working and stuff.
Yes, I love
it. Yes.
Karan, what would you say to
and
her?
Several things come to my mind. Thank you so much for expressing that, because it's important for us to be aware also of what's going on in our community. And I would, number one, for us, encourage our imams to have this conversation more too, so that we can change the conversation. But two things came to my mind. One was what happened when Ibrahim went to visit his son. And his son was not home. And the wife was home. And he spoke to her and asked her, how were things going? And she gave him the answer. He said, tell him to change the lamppost. I think it was the lamppost.
The doorpost.
The message was, the door. Yes, he said, tell him to change that. That was his message for the wife to give to him. And so Ismail got the message. The wife said, your dad came to visit, and he said for you to change the doorpost. He said, that means I need to get rid of you. I need to get rid of you. And so that's what I'm saying. Sometimes we have to change our company and the people we're around such that we are in the midst of those who have similar values as us. That's number one. The other thing is that Allah tells us in the Quran to lose not heart nor fall into despair, for you must gain mastery if you are true in faith. So we can't be those who lose heart, or we become, quote-unquote, desperate or full of despair or hope, like this isn't meant for me, because Allah also tells us that the promise of Allah is true. So he already told us in 7:21 that he has made this person for you, and he wouldn't make them and then kill them and have you out there searching blindly and just wandering, looking like wasting your time. He's not that kind of creator. He's not that kind of God to us. So we have to believe that and trust Allah, that if he says he has made this being for you, trust him that that being is there for you. And then keep your eyes and your heart open to receive them when they come, no matter where you are in your station in life. So you can be on this path to wonderful victory in your career, and if that is truly what is meant for you, Allah is not going to take that from you either. He is going to make it elevated with the two of you. And that's what, you know, a month or so ago we talked about how it is in marriage that we get the elevated experience financially and in our family. So all those things that you are pursuing, Allah makes it even better in the marriage relationship, and you don't have to fear. It's Shaitan that puts the fear in us and makes us feel like, oh my God, I cannot succeed in this way, when Allah has already promised us that we can and we will.
Alhamdulillah. I want to say praise be to Allah. That's excellent, Quran. I want to just, you know, just camel back or veggie back on what it is that you just said. Allah also says, my dear sister, in the Quran, that there will be no fear nor grief for the believer. I like to say that the fear and the grief that sometimes you may experience is connected to your belief, just what Quran just said. You know, when we read the Quran, I don't care where we read in the Quran, but it could be an ayah or a short surah. And when we close in the Quran, we say, Sadaq Allah Udeen. That Allah has spoken the truth, but he's spoken a mighty truth. So this mighty truth that Allah has given in the words of revelation, it brings about a realization, a manifestation in our life. It just as Quran say, you have to believe and trust in Allah. Matter of fact, the shaitan is even going to deny, you understand, in the end, that he had anything to do with influencing our thoughts and also our will to conform to what God's will. Because he makes a promise too, but it's revealed in the Quran that he is not your sincere advisor. And we also have to understand that some people that want to give you advice, and I have to be honest and cut straight to the chase, they have been influenced by Western society. Why? Because the sacred institution of marriage has been marginalized. It has been minimized. You know, oh, why you want to do that? You don't need to do that. You're doing well. You got this degree. You got that degree. You got a real good job. You're making six figures. You got a nice house. You got a 3 or 4 car garage. You got plenty of money in the bank. Well, we actually had a caller that called in and said that. You remember, Quran? And all.
I do.
He said, well, why would you want to get married? I don't need to get married. Well, this only lets us know that they don't have the correct definition of the sacred institution of marriage in accordance with God's will and plan for you. If Allah has established it for us, and just as Quran so eloquently articulated, if Allah says that he has made from the ones that he created, a mate of like nature for you, then Allah's word is true. And just as she said just a few minutes ago, that if you seek that mate is seeking you. And praise be to Allah that you will find that mate. No, you know, it's always better to listen to Allah. We know we had that that word ishta jabu, that we should, those who hearken and those who listen and those who respond, and they respond, you understand, swiftly to what Allah is saying. Never let anybody's word supersede God's word. This is something very, very important, my dear sister. Don't listen to others when it goes in opposition to what God has said for us. Make sure you understand you want to get all your barakats, your blessings. You want to be all it is that you can be. And you want to find that mate of like nature. You want to be able to find your soulmate. Your soulmate will become your helpmate. And vice versa. They will be your soulmate. They'll be your helpmate. And guess what? They will become your teammate. Allah has said in the Quran that he has created everything in pairs. So we are to see ourselves as inter, dependent. This is a word that we usually don't use, interdependent. Only Allah is independent. Don't allow anybody to deprive you of what it is Allah has said. He has created us in pairs. He created us in pairs because he wants to bring us together. He wants to bring men and women together. And I want to just say there was a comment that was made a little earlier, and I was intending to say something in terms of, you just say persons. We don't want to start using Western society's language as they have introduced the LGBTQ. No, this is an abomination. Allah has said it in Revelation before the Quran, and he has said it in the Quran. We are looking for, if we are a woman, we are looking for the right man for our husband. And if we are a man, we're looking for the right woman to be our wife. But now you're getting the information here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and Quran and I are coming from the Quran. That this is very important, and coming from the life example of the prophet Sahih Hadith and his sunnah. He said, marriage is my sunnah. Marriage is my way. And those, and here's another Sahih Hadith, and those who do not marry and they don't have a desire to marry, you might not have found that person yet, but don't have a desire to marry, he said, they're not of my sunnah. They're not of my way. So I can say more.
Wow.
I think I said enough there. So hopefully what Quran said and I've said to you, don't allow others to influence you when it is in opposition to what God has said. Always, always accept God's word over anybody else. And if it conflicts with the Quran, then you know, as the Prophet Muhammad has said, speak to the ear that's alive. Speak to the ear that's listening. And we most certainly should be listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he speaks to us for the instruction, for the construction of the human life that he wants us to have. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Thank you both so much. This was so inspiring, and it really soothed my heart. So I'm grateful to Allah for facilitating this through you.
Thank you for calling in, because when you asked that question, you asked that question for so many people out there that wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
They knew. Now,
they
would be wondering. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. I want you to walk away also with an affirmation. Put it on an index card and carry it in your purse. It is Surah 3, Ayat 200. And with that, Allah says, O you who have believed, persevere and endure, be patient and be constant, and remain stationed in that kind of position. Work together, support one another, and fear Allah that you may be successful. So I added a lot of words in there, but to give that clear understanding. But what Allah is saying to us is that in that Surah 3, Ayat 200, he's telling us that we have to believe, we have to be perfect. perseverance, be patient, be constant, and then support one another in our patience and our constancy. So make sure you find people who are supporting you in your patience and you are being constant in that desire to please Allah and strengthening you, because Allah uses that word, that strengthen each other and fear Allah so that you may be successful. That's my final words to you, and thank you so much for tuning in. And now we are going to go to 718-769. Welcome to the courtship. I'm sorry, 679. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
That's New York.
Alaikum
Assalam. Welcome.
Abdul Wali Shahid is Brooklyn.
Wali Shahid, Alhamdulillah. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Your question or comment on tonight's subject, you've been listening in. Is it resonating with you, Brother Wali?
Oh, seriously. For sure. Alhamdulillah. It's, you know, like the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, said that marriage is half of the faith. So it just shows and proves to me that, you know, that me being married, it just gives me the, helps me feel a level of completion as far as how much I've got going for me already, having fulfilled some that obligation and having not, and having somebody who complements my life. I wanted to comment on what Brother Yaqub had said, and I heard you when you're talking about the long engagements and things like that, and as it relates to soulmates and the like, that you've been talking about. That whole aspect, that's one of the good things about, Bismillah, one of the good things about community life is, like the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, said that we know each other from working together, praying together, and if I'm not mistaken, eating together. But there may be something else on top of that. But part of the benefit of being in a community and having a sister or a brother, having a track record, having a life, showing certain characteristics and interactions with everybody, it gives us, there's a certain reference that we have. Or can have from seeing each other and or having somebody say vouching for the person, a Wali or what have you, or somebody being able to say, okay, well, I know this person, I know their family and things like that, and giving us a jump on having a familiarity when it comes to the person and the likelihood of them staying consistent and or being what they say they are. But the second part is that people's community, this is what I love about Imam Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, what he said, he's the same, as a matter of fact, his wife, the younger sister, said, Khadija, right, alhamdulillah, yes, he's the same as he is at home, as he is in public. He answers the same questions and speaks the same language to her that he did, that he does when he deals with the community in that sense. And like he can switch up. So, and some people are not good privately as they are, appear to be publicly. So, so I think that as far as long engagements go, the question is begged, I beg the question as being, how much time does it take for us to know an individual or feel safe enough or secure enough to say, okay, this person functionally would compliment me in living the life, a moral life, and living a life of productivity in this life and help me get to the next life and pleasing Allah? I guess that's a statement and a question that if we can expound on it, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, I want to say, Brother Wali, we can make sure that you get this, and those have been listening in Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, And it's been most recent, latter part of last year, that Karan and I went over something that we constructed years ago. It's called the premarital questionnaire, nine different categories. And there are questions under those categories. Just give you just a few of the categories and in terms of getting to know. It starts with the personal history of the person. Now, first of all, we say that it is that you should go over that. And as we talk, not you personally, because you have already been married and married for years, praise be to Allah. But those who are aspiring to be married, they should get the premarital questionnaire. They should go over those questions themselves and answer those questions personally. And there's four prerequisites that I call for. The first prerequisites before engaging in the premarital questionnaire is sincerity. Why sincerity? Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that religion is sincerity. And then the second is honesty. And the third is integrity. Once again, we look at the Prophet Muhammad before he became the Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, as he was called by the people as Siddiq, and he was called by the people El Amin. These were titles before they became names. He was known as the truthful one, and he was known as the trustworthy one. So, you know, in terms of having that as a prerequisite, sincerity, honesty, integrity, and the last one, very important, transparency. We go to the Quran again in terms of what it is that Allah inspired me to look at is these four. Allah says in 49:12, avoid suspicion as much as possible. And taking a clue from my beloved leader and teacher, how do you avoid suspicion? By being transparent. You see, transparency, openness is vitally important. So if you adhere to those four prerequisites, now you're ready, you understand, and doing it first and foremost individually. And when Allah bless you to find that potential mate, then they would do the same thing, and then you engage each other in the communication. With those four as prerequisites, sincerity, honesty, integrity, and transparency. And what we have on that premarital, I'm just going to give you, you know, just the categories. The first category is your personal history. The second category that you have is your educational history. Your third category is your work history. The fourth that would follow in that natural progression will be money management. If you don't know, sometimes money management is rated one of the top three or four or five in terms of why marriages fail. Money management. You're trying to see a commonality when you get to that point. After money management, then there are interpersonal qualities that you have to be honest, person of integrity, and also transparency in terms of interpersonal qualities. After that, then you have marital responsibilities. One thing about the premarital questionnaire is that you can't take anything for granted. You can't take anything for granted in that regard. So marital responsibilities is next. After marital responsibility, we infused another one, very important, moral and ethic background. You see, sometimes you can just assume because they say they Muslim, you say you Muslim. But what about your moral and ethic background? You need to have a conversation, a communication, information in regards to that. Then after that, it is family planning. Now, it's not saying that, that you know, some that maybe say past childbearing years or what, but family planning, I also infuse the question of polygyny in there, because those who really understand polygyny, it is actually for the preservation of family and community life. It becomes a protection. It is a remedy. that Allah has allowed for the social ills when there's a disparity of men, women to men, a ratio of women to men. This is very important. You can't just assume that this becomes a problem and an issue later on if and when it's not discussed. But you want to discuss that. You want to discuss that in the courtship, okay? And then last but not least, it is the physical and mental health. Now, this is when it really gets to be very, very personal. And I want to say that at any point in the premarital questionnaire, there could be a deal breaker. It could be a deal breaker. You see, then you come to the realization, this may not be the mate for you. It may not be that they're a bad person or you're a bad person, but you're not really be good for each other. But having that sincerity, honesty, integrity, and transparency will help you to get through that. And then if you can have observation as well as communication, that's idealistic, that you can find somebody in your own locale that even live in the same city, maybe go to the same masjid, the same Islamic center, but the social demographics today is totally different. Oftentimes we may have to choose or select somebody that's not in living in the same area that we're living in, and we might not have that luxury of having the observation along with the communication. So there's a lot of things that we've said here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that perhaps you didn't get, but we can make sure that you get that and look over. I think you'll find it to be an excellent, excellent document, and especially for those who are aspiring to get married. We really want to see our resident imams have it, as they would be doing counseling, and you can get it, and you got the authorization permission from us, you understand, to give it to others that would need that. It becomes a good guide in terms of doing that. And then you can make a better decision and judgment as to whether or not this courtship can possibly lead to a partnership. I'll stop with that. Thank you so much, my brother. We appreciate you your chiming in. As-salamu alaykum.
Girl, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you both, and thank you again for inviting me earlier. I said I could not miss this, man. Inshallah.
Yes, sir. I hope that you this is resonating with you, my brother.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. This is a much needed topic, man, for sure.
Yes, sir. Yep. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum. Press 1 as you go out, my brother. Karan, we have others with their hands up.
Yes, we do have others with their hands up, but I just want to say to our listening audience, if you want the premarital questionnaire, email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com and let us know you want a copy of that premarital questionnaire. We will email that to you. All right, we are now going to go to 301-610. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Hi, this is Carolyn from the Nation's Mosque in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Welcome, Carolyn, from the Nation's Mosque. As-salamu alaykum to you. Peace be unto you. Welcome.
I wanted to be sure you all spoke to that young sister about getting a wali, how a couple wali worked so well as it did for the young sister who spoke, told how she saw that brother, and it worked out. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Karan and I, we just want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. But Karan and I, we're just mediums and trying to be good servants and Allah working through us. So we both defer the praise and thanks to Allah first and foremost always.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for calling in. Is this resonating with you that you're hearing tonight, Carolyn?
Well, what I wanted to make sure that she knew she could get a wali, like a young couple who could help her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm quite sure that she, Karan may have her number there, may have circled it and everything, and I think that that information can be conveyed to her maybe through a text or something of that nature. But then,
yes,
you know, I want to say this, though. Okay, I want to say this, and she's probably still listening. You know, you want to make sure that the person is qualified to really be a wali. Maybe that could be a future production here, and I'm thinking about that. in terms of having a future production in regards to that, because we don't know, and there's a lot that we don't know about her, but actually, you know, especially for virgin girls in terms of looking at the history in terms of Wanli, because there's a certain naiveness that may be there, not having much experience in that regard, never been married at all. The natural Wali would be that if her father was still living. You know, Wali is a protecting friend.
Right.
So who would be better than her father if her father's still living? Karan and I don't know. We didn't ask that. Or does she have a big brother or a grandfather or, you know, of that magnitude or whatever in that regard? But it would have to be someone that would be looking out for her best interest, and they should be knowledgeable. They should be a person of good character, and they should be knowledgeable in the deen, the religion. So, you know, sometimes it's just kind of threw around, get your Wali, you know. Okay, well, a Wali, you understand, has a purpose, and they have to be knowledgeable. And she is a Muslima, you see, too. So you got to take a whole lot into consideration in regards to that and how a Wali should be actually utilized. We even talked about that on the premarital questionnaire, you know, but the engagement in terms of, you know, when a Wali would be very, very effective, but also the actual conversation and communication, whereas they have to be involved in that too, you know. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a future production, inshallah. We'll put that on the board as a future production here for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Thank you so much, Carolyn. We appreciate
it. Wonderful recommendation. Thank you. That was really good to make that recommendation. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you go out, Carolyn. Keep on listening. Keep listening. All right, Karan, we still got others with hands in the air.
We do, and one of them is the young sister, so she pushed 1, and we're letting her back in. Welcome back, Akila.
Oh, thank you so much. I was just trying to back in to say I completely agree with that, and I'm interested in the episode about finding a good Wali, because unfortunately my protecting friend, my father, passed pretty recently, about a year ago. So I have been kind of, you know, struggling with that. So I think that is a great suggestion.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought that was a recommendation.
Yes.
Oh, and also, Mr. Carolyn, did we meet at a doctor later before? Oh, sorry. Okay. I'm going to get out the queue.
I think
you.
Talk to me.
Okay.
I know Akila.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for calling back in.
All right, we are going to go to 314-330. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling.
I think I know who that is.
I think I know who it is, too.
I said I'm going to let you come. This is Medina
Waqil.
Who
are you and where you calling from?
Okay, I said I will let you come. This is Medina Waqil from St. Louis.
Welcome.
First, I want to say what an excellent topic. Praise be to Allah, and what an excellent job the two of you are doing, as well as your listening audience with their wonderful questions. Before I ask my question, Karan, at some point, could you please repeat that Gmail address that you had given previously? I didn't get it all. But I have a very quick question, and then I'll get out the queue. Can you, if you have a few minutes, can either one of you or both of you address the importance of premarital counseling?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. And I'm going to give that email address to the listening audience. That
okay.
is bring to the lab. @gmail.com. Bring it to the lab @gmail.com.
Okay, Karan, you heard that's Dr. Medina Wakil. She's so very modest, but I just have to say that she's one of the jewels in our community. I'm just so elated to have her here in the STL and not in the ATL, the Gateway City of St. Louis. And she's doing wonderful work. She's our leader and chairperson for trying to reopen the Clara Muhammad School, and we're embarking upon a weekend school. I just have to just say that.
That's connected, yes.
Yeah, I know you love that, you know. I'd love to hear that. And I know you know Dr. Medina Wakil, and she just constructed excellent curriculum for weekend schools here, and we're very, very excited. She has a PhD in education, specializing in curriculum writing. Oh, boy, do we need that, you know. So I just have to say that. I have to give a plug for my sister. She know I love her so much, and I appreciate her so much. And we don't want to take anybody for granted. And Imam Muhammad said this, and then we'll let you, you know, start in on that question first. Imam Muhammad said that leadership is in the resourceful people in our community. I'm going to say that again. He said leadership is in the resourceful people in our community. He didn't say leadership is in the imams in our community. Now, that's not marginalizing any imam, but leadership is in the resourceful people. That means that that can be a brother or a sister, and education is our number one priority. So Allah put that on her heart quite a few years ago, and when she came to the Masters of Shura with that, when she expressed that, it touched my heart. I had no hesitation, no reservation, no procrastination on my part. I've been with that ever since. And so I'm just only just saying that those who hear me, you understand, this should be number one priority in your community. And this connects even with the Sacred Institution of Marriage. You see, because all what Karan and I are doing here on Courtship and Marriage is giving you education for cultivation, stimulation, for application, for manifestation or realization in terms of what this sacred institution is all about. This is part of God's will and plan. Forget your plan. If you're a believer, you want to be in accordance with God's plan. And so I could say more, but I'll stop there. Karan, please address Dr. Medina and record to the question. I even forgot myself.
I got it. I really think that question goes also along with the idea of the Wali. And I think that as a community, we need to do more to prepare our Wali and then to also prepare for marriage. And on that preparation for marriage, I have several comments regarding that. So definitely premarital counseling.
Oh, yes, yeah, what it was.
Important. And that premarital counseling is not just getting that couple together and chit-chatting.
It is truly
digging in to make sure that the important questions have been asked and answered, that the plans for your future have been well thought out and written out. So the premarital counseling is very important. And I say to our couples going to premarital counseling, and I know here in Atlanta, that was when I remember when I was getting married, I was like 19 years old getting married. And the imam said to me when I said, I want premarital counseling, he said, don't come in here for premarital counseling with your mind made up. When you go into premarital counseling, you're going to see how
this
makes it work. This is the next phase in the courtship.
Mm-hmm. Come on now.
That premarital counseling is the next phase in the courtship before you get to the contract.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, like you can take it in phases, and the first phase is you just get to know you.
The next phase is to understand you. And the next phase is to see how we can possibly work together. And the next phase is to let that professional, whether it's an imam or someone who is trained to counsel, because some imams are not trained to counsel. And I've seen them who say that's a good brother or that's a good sister, but that doesn't mean a good brother and a good sister belong together. So you have to be able to look at what their experiences are, what is their background, to see if those two should merge or not. And so that's what that premarital counseling does. It allows them, the couple, to go through that process with a professional who would guide them through that process. Very important. And then the next phase is, okay, we think we can do this, or no, this won't work. And so you don't go in with your mind made up, because when you go in with your mind made up, no matter what they say, you're going to do what you're going to do, and you're going to make a mistake.
Yes.
So you want to make sure that you're not already set in your thinking. That's, I think, is important. And I really believe that that phase of courtship is vital.
Oh, yes. Definitely. Alhamdulillah. You know, Quran, you said a mouthful, and I like those phases that that you gave for Dr. Medina. And I think that's a very vital question to ask, most certainly. And then I go back to the premarital questionnaire and also echo what Quran so excellently articulated in terms of all imams are not qualified. They're just not qualified. They need to learn, you understand, in terms of counseling. And, of course, if you're a Muslim or a Muslima, you should want to have the, what they say, the premarital counseling, as Quran so eloquently articulated also. You can't have your mind already made up in terms of that, because they have to know. In counseling, one of the things about a counselor is that they had, I talk about this in the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, in terms of the hats that a parent has to wear. And it's a host hat, knowing what to say to our children, the counseling, knowing what questions, what thought-provoking questions to ask, and being a good listener, which is very, very important. So a counselor would have to know the religion. They would have to know the deen. You know, and of course, that counselor should have the premarital questionnaire. It's an excellent document to actually have to make sure. Maybe they come in and they've just been talking and they've gotten so enthused over each other and everything, and it'd be like bells and whistles going off. I like you, you like me, I love you, you love me, and all that, and we want to get married. So, you know, you have to always look at what is the drive here, what is the niyyah, you understand, the intent that these two persons have. So you want to give the imam should be knowledgeable enough to give it from an Islamic base why this sacred institution of marriage is. Just what Quran and I are discussing tonight on this topic, what is marriage? He should be able to talk just like what you hear us talking tonight, what Quran and I are talking tonight. He should have that type of knowledge. He should have that type of information, that type of education. And he should also be able to say what the rights are. This is very important, the rights. He should be able to talk about the mark. He should be able to say that this is what's due to her. As Imam Muhammad has said, the rights of one become the obligation of the other. He should be able to go to the Quran. He should be able to say in the Quran, in Al-Nisa, this is the responsibility that you have. And then he should be able to, for the man, and he should be able to go into the Quran and say, this is the responsibility that you would have as the woman. And he should be able to do that from based on the Quran. You see, I wouldn't say it would be so advisable to go to just what we call a marriage counselor. because they're not coming from the same platform as from our way of life. You see, so, and as Karan so eloquently articulated, they might not be the best person, to be quite honest, because it just got through saying that, listen to what Imam Muhammad said, leadership is in the resourceful people in the community. So you might have, for example, so I'm glad she asked this question because I really want to expound on it even more. You may have a couple that have been in the community for a long time, been married for a long time. They could probably maybe give you something that is needed that will help in terms of the longevity, the sustaining and maintaining a long relationship with words of wisdom. So we don't want to leave that out, you know, in that regard. And sometimes, you know, just like any profession, when it's coming from a Western perspective, it may not be the best in terms of the counseling or advice that you give. Now, I'm not saying don't, but if you have somebody in the community, if it's an imam, that's good, but it should be based on the Quran. It should be based on the life example of the prophet in living the Quran, even in that aspect. And also, I would just say the individual responsibility that we all have in terms of learning the religion and learning, you understand, the guidance that Allah gives us in marriage. All what Quran and I have said tonight have been based on the Quran, have been based on the life example of the prophet in terms of Sahih Hadith and all of that. And when we take that and we understand that, and then Allah has blessed us to produce a premarital questionnaire. There's a lot that can be learned from that, but he needs to have those tools too. So if you have to evaluate and assess your resident imam, it could be another imam that's more qualified. I'll tell you, my good brother and friend, Imam Fahim Shoaib, and he said it many times, he don't serve as an advisor. He won't do that. He won't do that. And Imam Muhammad actually said that to him, too. He won't serve as an advisor. Being a counselor and an advisor is two different things, you see. But they have to be knowledgeable. They have to be knowledgeable. They should be a person of good character, but they have to be knowledgeable, too, because they are to fill in the blanks. The blanks. It's like Quran said, if you go in there with your mind already made up, you've already completed all the sentences, the whole paragraph and everything. All you're looking for is a sign-off or a signature. And you can't do that. You see, you have to go in there with an open mind, an open heart. And then they have to say, okay, what is it that you have discussed? And they should be saying, look, this is a premarital questionnaire. Did you discuss these things? Do you know this person's personal background? How well do you know it? There should be questions, thought-provoking questions. Well, we kind of sort of. You don't want to hear answers like that, kind of, sort of. Do you know their educational background? Do you know their work history? Do you know if they ever worked? Money management. Have you talked about these things? That's important. It could become a conflict in the relationship because you got one that's a spendthrift and then another one, you know, just the opposite. You see, what about the interpersonal qualities of this person? Did you talk about that? Or were you just so overwhelmed with the fact that somebody is interested? You see, all of these things are vitally, vitally important, and you have to talk about all of these things. You have to be transparent. You can't sample them and say, let me sample you. Can't sample them. You can't do that in Al-Islam. Of course not. But you have to talk about those things. And at a certain point in the natural progression, evolving of the relationship, I don't want to talk about that. See, so all of these things are vitally important. So hopefully what Quran gave and I have added on, that would actually help. But find somebody that will be qualified, that you respect, you know they're knowledgeable, you know that they can be counseling from the Quran, because that becomes the guidance for the counselor too. You can't, you don't want to go to somebody that, you know, they're not coming from the Quran. That's where we get in trouble a lot of times, because of the Western idea, because they're counseling the LGBTQ too, some of them, you know. I think I've said enough. I'll stop there.
Well, Mark, we're at the top of the hour.
Oh, okay. No more callers in the queue.
We have one more caller in the queue. You want to get him?
Yeah, let's give him a minute. Just give him a minute or so to say something. I don't like to leave anybody in the queue. So, caller, if you could ask your question or make a comment within a minute, we want to get you in.
All right. Welcome to 718-344. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Yes. Hajalala, Fort Valley, Georgia.
My sister. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. I have a few questions, but I'm going to ask maybe two. Is that all right?
You can ask two, and then what I ask you to do, Quran, and I will ask you to do, and we're going to continue this next week, and we want what we'll do is a priority. We're going to bring you on first. Now, I need you to show up first and foremost and press one, and then whatever we can't do tonight, we promise you, inshallah, God willing, that we will do that and do due diligence to whatever the question. So please, go ahead.
Okay, alhamdulillah. My question is, how old is a wali needed for a sister?
Okay. That's
and then
one.
The other one is, should a sister ask for marriage from a brother?
Sis, I'm not understanding the last question. Should a sister?
Should a sister propose
to a brother?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Let's take the last one first, and then maybe we'll say the one in terms of Wally, because I think that's a little bit more in depth in terms of age wise. So, Quran, I'm just going to simply say, for the sake of time, succinctly, I like to go back to the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad that Imam Muhammad told us that we should study. Before Prophet Muhammad became Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, we know that in his lifetime, his first wife was named Khadija, Rahim Allah Anna, and that by all reports, she was about 15 years his senior. Khadija had an interest in Muhammad ibn Abdullah. She had a sister friend by the name of Anissa. It was Anissa. And she told her about her interest. She made her representative in terms of approaching Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And she was so well-versed, she represented her very, very well, as Muhammad ibn Abdullah didn't think at that time that he could really afford to take care of a wife and everything. And she just simply said, well, what if money is not an issue, you know, in that regard? In other words, this woman is interested in you. She's not one to be your wife, spouse, or marry you only because she needs to be taken care of. Okay, so now just think about that, relate that, and relate to this time too, because we do have Muslimas that are well off. They're not looking, per se, for that. They're looking for the companionship. So then Rasulullah, he wasn't a messenger, 25 years of age. He said, then who is it? And so the Nafisa said, it is Khadija. And he was amazed, Khadija? He said, yes, Khadija. So as it goes, long story short, it was Khadija who would eventually become the prophet, and she was the one that proposed to him. Now, years ago on a sister station, I said to sisters, if you would look at what Khadija did, there would be more marriages. You know, you just don't go after any man, just because he said he's a Muslim, just like any man wouldn't go after any woman because she says she's a Muslima. But she saw something. She saw something in Muhammad ibn Abdullah. She saw the excellence of character. She saw that he was truthful. She saw he was trustworthy. And she made him the manager of her business. And she had previous managers, and these were contracts that were signed. And he fulfilled the contract. He didn't take anything from her. Nothing. He gave her all of her share, what they agreed upon. See, so what I'm saying is that, yes, if sisters will begin to look and to observe, you know, as Khadijah did, and look for a good character, God-conscious man, like they used to do back in the day when they say, I found a good man. He's a God-fearing man. And these were not Muslims. These were people in our families. That is what we should be looking for. And then if, in fact, that you have seen and observed them enough, you understand, you can send your representative and let them know that there's an interest, too. I think I said enough. I think a hint to the wise is sufficient. We'll stop there. And then we'll put that other question on hold, if you will. And come back first, and you'll be the first one up. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
As-salamu alaykum. All right, Karan. Take whatever
right.
time you want. But you want to leave with the radio listen audience and let
Thank
them know how they
can
get in touch with us.
I will. Thank you for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab right here on IWDM Radio. You could have been doing other things, but you chose to spend this time with us, and we are grateful to you. We pray that you benefited from our learning lab, and we ask you that if you did, tell a friend, even before, as soon as you hang up, go ahead and tell a friend, and go ahead and go to our social media. So we are on Facebook, we are Bring It to the Lab. And on Instagram, we are Bring It to the Lab. Go on there and make a comment to talk about how much you enjoyed the program, what you may have learned from the program, by all means. And if you want to get the premarital questionnaire or you have other comments you want to make to us via email, you can email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. Again, we thank you. Thank you, Mark, for all that you do. Thank you for being a part of this beautiful journey. And I turn it back over to you.
Okay, alhamdulillah. We want to say the praise and thanks belongs to Allah. First and foremost, want to thank the radio listening audience for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Inshallah, God willing, that this will be part three next week. And inshallah, it will be the conclusion on this very vital, necessary topic that we have here tonight. And I also want to thank Karan Shakir always for her insight, her wisdom that she shared each and every Thursday night. It is really a joy and pleasure to have her partnering with me here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Want to say the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow is Salatul Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. And those who are immobilized and can't get out and about can come back here to IWDM Radio for Salatul Jumu'ah. And that begins with Imam Mikhail Sayer each and every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And Sunday, the longest-running production of IWDM Radio is Words Make People, once again with the very distinguished, esteemed Imam, who will be my guest coming, inshallah, this Wednesday in African American Heritage Month. He has Words Make People each and every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central. It's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, Words Make People. Now, at the beginning of the week, we just have had on the MGM Roundtable my good brother and friend, one of our very learned imams, Imam Nazim Pasha. He will be occupying the space that we've had here on Monday, as he will be introducing ABC. That stands for Al-Islam-Based Conversation. He was on the Sister Learning Lab of AM 360 years with me. I always enjoy tuning in and listening to him. He will bring in the ABC, Al-Islam-Based Conversation, each and every Monday. And it will be starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And it will start this Monday. Tuesday, it is the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam, also with instructor Abdul Shaheed, coming back for the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. This begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And the Sister Learning Lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with the very distinguished esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, will be back with me next week, and yours truly. We host that each and every Wednesday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And following that is the MGM Roundtable, where yours truly, Mark Shaheed, I host that and produce it. And we always bring very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, outside the community, and topic is pertinent to us as a community. And all this month is going to be about African-American History Month. And so we'll have very distinguished, esteemed guests, and we're looking at having Imam Mikhail Sayer, the very distinguished, esteemed author, The Man Behind the Men, will be with me at the roundtable, inshallah, this Wednesday. And it starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And then it brings it back to the night with the very distinguished, esteemed hosts, Quran Shakir and Mark Shaheed, on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab each and every Thursday, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. We do ask that you don't forget the lifeblood of our community. That's the Muslim Journal. Make sure you keep your subscription, because it is a prescription, and those who have the wherewithal, please make it a gift to a friend, a colleague, or maybe a neighbor, a friend, a family member, or maybe your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. So we want to say, don't forget the theme of IWDM Radio, set yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.